And we are completing our series on healing words for hurting people, a series that was put together by a pastor by the name of James Wilkins. And beginning next week, we'll be starting a series on the churches of Revelation, the seven churches that we're going to look at. It's something that we want to learn from what the Lord spoke to these seven churches, that they can apply to us, that we can learn a great deal from it. And I trust that it will be a blessing. But we want to look in John chapter 8 to start. And it'll be verse 36 that we'll read. And we've gone through much in this study of just kind of the consequences. If we hold on to bitterness and other things, we understand the way to victory is by dying to ourselves, by giving our hurts over to the Lord so that He can heal them, and understand that the Lord wants to use our hurts to be helps if we allow Him to. And we see in John 8, verse 36, it says, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And that's what we want to learn about tonight is in terms of healing, that we want to be free of the burden of guilt or of bitterness or other things. We want to learn how that we can let those things go. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your compassion and care for us, Lord, that You are touched with the feelings of our infirmities, Lord, the hurts that we have. Lord, we just pray that You would help us, that we may give these things over to You, Lord, that we would not be hindered in our walk with You, but that You would continue to use us mightily, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And something that we want to recognize is that we are important to God, that God is not one who ignores our life. He's not one that if we do something wrong that He just kind of throws us in the dustbin, that He's not that kind of God. He's a God of mercy, a God of the second chance. And even when we've done wrong against Him, even if we've been angry against God for something that's happened, even if we've sinned against Him, that it's something that He wants to forgive us for those things, and He wants to help us if we've made our mistakes, not to be crippled by those mistakes for the rest of our life, but to have victory over them. And we want to understand that He has compassion for us. He wants to help us. He is a God that is near. He is not a God that is afar off. He is not a God that is insensitive. He is touched by the feelings of our infirmities, that He knows exactly what we've been through. And so, when we think of things that have happened in the past, we want to think, well, what happened? What wounded me? What caused this heartbreak in my life? And we think, well, how do I be free from that hurt that I have? We can't, and that's the thing, that we can't change the past. It's happened. We can't get in a time machine and change things. It just doesn't work that way. And so what do we do with the past? How do we handle it? And that's the thing sometimes that we want to realize, that the devil can get a victory over us with certain things that happen in life. And that's, of course, he's always trying to use any trial or heartache that we have to gain the victory over us. But so often what happens is he wants to have us keep winning that victory over us daily by just one mistake that we did in the past or an error, that something could have happened a long time ago. Someone could have hurt us, but yet they're still basically winning every time, every day that we hold on to it and that we're kept from being free. And so we want to learn from that, and it's something that I know myself, that as a human being, I know that Jesus is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. I know with myself that and with any other person, it's very limited. We can offer sympathy, we can try to help, but there's that healing, that restoration that only the Lord can give. And we want to learn from the Scriptures, learn from what Christ has done, so that we can gain victory over these things. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. That things that we've carried for many years, that the Lord can make us free from those so that we can have a life that is not burdened down anymore. And so we want to look at one principle first of all, and if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and this is verse 21 we want to look at, and there's a principle here that we can apply in this sense. It says, verse 21 of Matthew 8, another of his disciples said to him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. And we look at it at first glance, we think, well, Jesus is very insensitive. He should allow the man the time to wait, but we understand that he was trying to teach a principle here, and it's the understanding that we have that if someone is dead, that there's not much that we can do to help them anymore. That we need he's basically trying to tell this disciple he need to let his father go. And we want to understand that there's different things that have happened in the past that we can't change. That no matter how much we would like to, it's happened and nothing can change that. And what the Lord wants us to do is to bury the ghosts of the past with all their haunting memories. He wants us to give them up and put them in the past and follow the Lord. And that's kind of the challenge that can happen when we're hurt, when we're wounded, that we dwell on the past, on things that have happened in the past, and it keeps us from ministering to those in the future. That I've known some families that say they lost a child, and they're so grieved over losing that child that they had a very hard time. And they still had other children, and the children kind of felt, well, I'm still alive. I need to be parented. I know you're hurting, but I still need to have a parent to teach me things. And so that's what can happen sometimes, that we can be so focused on the past event that we become captive to it, and it prevents us from ministering to those that are present. And that's what the devil wants us to do, is be so tied to the past, so consumed by what has happened that we cannot change, that it keeps us from doing what we should be doing right now. And so that's the sense that the Lord is trying to give, that let the dead bury their dead, come and follow me. That we want to realize that there are other people that still need our help, even though we've been hurt. And that's so often when, as a young Christian, as we're excited about the Lord, as we're serving the Lord, as we're ministering to Him, the devil wants to send something into our lives that'll hurt us so bad that we'll withdraw and that we won't minister to people anymore. We'll just close ourselves off because we think, well, I don't ever want to get hurt like that again, so I'm going to protect myself. But in doing that, it prevents us from the blessings that we have of ministering to someone. That we get hurt sometimes, but then we have the good times too when we minister to someone and we soul gets saved, or someone's life is changed for the better, and so we can learn from that. And so we have to realize that the past cannot be changed. It can only be forgiven. That it is something that trying to dwell on it, trying to figure out, well, I should have done this better. We can learn from our mistakes. We can learn from things that happened, but at a certain point, we need to step forward. And we see that in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Philippian church. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That we realize that we have our lives are directed, that we're to be conformed to the image of Christ, that we're to be pressing toward that mark, that whatever happens in the past, and we think of it in a positive way too, that we can have different victories, different times that we've done the right thing, but we don't, it shouldn't be something that we dwell on that victory, because sometimes what happens is we think, wow, I did a really good job then, and then what we find is about a week later, then we do something really foolish, because we've been kind of thinking, well, look at what I did so long ago. And it's something that we, in the negative too, that things that happened in the past, that we want to forget those things and press on, that things happen in our lives, and we can get sidetracked, but we need to get back to that whole principle of where Jesus says, come, follow me. That whatever happens, we get sidetracked, but then as we get it right, what do? We follow the Lord, that we go after Him. And we understand that Jesus wants us to follow Him, that He's waiting for us to be there. And it's kind of the thing that so often that we sometimes think that He's far away, that He's not interested in what we're doing, but we can see that He's with us through that difficult time. He comforts us. He ministers to us. And He helps us up again, and He gets us back on our way. And He is a source of healing. We think of the crippled man at the pool of Bethesda that Jesus asked him, well, wilt thou be made whole? And it was something the man said, I have no man to help me, that he wanted to be healed, but he couldn't. But then he looked to Jesus, and God, Jesus was God, and so he healed him. He said, rise and walk, and he made him whole, and that his life was changed. And that's what the Lord wants us to do, to look to Him if we have a wound like that, that we ask the Lord to help us, that we turn the hurt over to Him, and that He will make us whole again. Someone has said that the Lord will mend a broken heart if we give Him all of the pieces. And that is the truth of it, that He wants to heal us in that way. And so we have to do that. And so part of learning to overcome the past and not let it have victory over us, it's something that we realize that, as we said, that the past cannot be changed, it can only be forgiven. And so things that happened in the past, that we need to learn to have a heart of forgiveness. Because if we don't, it can cause great problems. We see in Hebrews 12 and verse 15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And we went through that in previous lessons, the thought that if we have bitterness in our heart, that usually we end up spewing it out on those who haven't really done us wrong, but they feel our bitterness, and especially around our kids, if we exhibit that, then it can be something that they become bitter against someone, even though that person hasn't wronged them personally, that it can pass on. And that's really, you think of all the different feuds through history, was the Hat Rocks and the McCoys, or I can't remember, I think that's not quite right.
Hatfields
and McCoys. I the Hat Rocks, I think, was from Flintstones, if I'm not mistaken. But all these feuds, it's happened so long ago, nobody even actually remembers what it was about, but people are still fighting. And you have nations. You think of the former Yugoslavia, of how things degenerated so quickly, and you wonder, well, why do these people hate each other so much? And it's just because there's these bitterness of this happened to someone a long time ago, and it could have been 500 years ago, but there's still that animosity. And so we want to overcome that. We don't want to have that bitterness springing up. That it's kind of like that. It's a root. It's just like any number of weeds that we have that we have to fight with here on the prairies. That it just it can kind of seem like you've got it killed off, but then it springs up again and causes a whole lot of trouble. And so So we first of all, in terms of forgiveness, we need to learn to forgive the one who had done us the wrong. And it's something we need to recognize, first of all, when we are hurt by someone. Sometimes we realize that it might be that that person did not intend to do so. That things happen and it just happened that way. And other times we realize that there's time where there was deliberate intent. There was a malicious thing that this person knew what they were doing totally. And we wonder, well, how do I forgive that person? But we understand that's what God wants us to do. We see this in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That we are to forgive one another. And the last phrase is very important, because we think, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That we think, well, how can I forgive this person? But we want to realize, well, how could Christ forgive us of our sins? We didn't deserve His forgiveness. There was no way that we earned it. No amount of good deeds that we could try to make up for it would ever be enough to cover our sin. But yet it's forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. That there's no remembrance of it anymore. That it isn't something, even as a Christian, that when we sin that we think ourselves, well, I sinned. I did the same thing for the 10th time, and we go to the Lord to confess it and says, well, I forgive you for this, and I have no memory of these other times that you speak of. It's under the blood. It's to be remembered no more. And so we want to learn to forgive people like that. It says, verse 32 of Ephesians 4, be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That we are to have that heart, that all this bitterness and wrath and anger and all these things are to be put away from us. And we want to have a heart of forgiveness. And we see that also that Jesus spoke of this in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 says, verse 3, take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And we see that was a very hard thing in some ways, because the apostles said, the Lord, increase our faith. They didn't feel that they could do that. And even Peter, he said, well, if my brother offend me, how many times do I have to forgive him? 7 times? And he says, well, no, 70 times 7. And we think that's a hard thing, but that is what we are asked to do. But the question arises as we see this. It's one thing if a person comes to us that they realize that they've done wrong and they say, I'm sorry. And it means a lot for us, for someone to do that, to make it right, that the relationship is restored, that they realize the hurt that they have caused, and we can have a healing and a restoration of fellowship in that way. But what happens when the person doesn't ask for repentance? That they don't think that they've done any wrong, or they haven't admitted it. What do we do then? How do we deal with it? Are we still to forgive them? Are we still to let it go? And that's something that we have to realize, that because it can happen sometimes that someone's wronged us, and then they might pass from this earth, and there is absolutely no way, even if they wanted to, that they could make it right. And we want to realize that what the Lord desires for us to do is to let it go, to give it. It's not something, and we think, well, how can I do that? Well, what we need to do is give it over to the Lord and allow Him to deal with it, that we put it in His jurisdiction rather than our own. And we want to see this pattern given to us by the Lord Jesus Himself in 1 Peter chapter 1. actually 1 Peter chapter 2 rather. 1 Peter chapter 2 and beginning in verse 21. It's 1 Peter 2 verse 21. It says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." And that is the thought, that when he suffered, all these things happened to him, that he didn't try to defend himself or fight for his own rights. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. That it's the sense that we have to do that as well, that something happens to us that we can hold on to it and think, well, I want this person to admit that they're sorry. I want retribution. I want some kind of fixing of this that has happened, this breach of trust, this falling out that we've had. But it's something that may not come no matter how hard we try. And the best thing that we can do is just give it over to the Lord and allow Him to deal with it. And we see that in Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and verse 19, it says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And it's that thought that we give it over to the Lord, that So we try to fix it, we try to get it taken care of in our ways, and we can never bring it to the conclusion that we want. But we find when we give it over to the Lord, that the Lord deals with it, that He takes care of it in a way far beyond anything that we can imagine. And when the Lord frees us up with that, that we've given it over to Him, that we're actually able to love this person even after what they've done to us, that it has great power, that a person sees that we, even though they are totally undeserving of our love, that we show that love to them, that it makes a difference, that they see, I've been a wretch to this person, and yet they treat me with kindness. And in doing that, we show Christ's example. We think of Jesus on the cross, of how He spoke. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." All the insults that they hurled, all the suffering that he faced, that he said, "Lord, forgive them." We think also of Stephen, when they were stoning him, that he said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." The love that they have, that's what we would desire to have. And it's not something that we can work up in our own strength, in our own human flesh. That's totally against everything that we would feel. But yet, the Lord can give us that strength as we die to ourselves, we give it over to Him, and the Lord can bless in that. And He can, and we know that He is the judge, that the Lord's going to take care of things. He's going to settle all accounts, and we don't ever have to worry about that. And it's something, when we really think about it, that we can have a hatred and a bitterness against someone for hurting us, but when we consider their end, especially someone that's lost, that has done some wrong to us, we know that they're going to be judged for their sin. If they don't trust in Christ, they're going to spend an eternity in hell. And it's something that if we're able to turn over that hurt to the Lord, we're able to love them, that they could be spared. And once they do trust the Lord as Savior, then the Lord's probably going to bring conviction, and they'll come back to you and ask for forgiveness. I know. It was kind of funny. I was working at the smelter and trail, worked there for 2 or 3 years, and I had worked at this other job before, and this other guy that had worked at that job too, he came over and worked for the same company. And this was about, we'd known each other for a couple years, and we were driving up to one work site, and he said, "Well, Scott, I just want to apologize for some things I said about you." And this was like 2 years ago, and it's like I didn't even I don't even remember what he probably didn't even say them to my face. He probably said them behind my back, but he felt sorry about them. He wanted to make it right. And that's sometimes what can happen. And that we don't have to worry about fixing that and making them get to that point, that we give it over to the Lord and the Lord can work in their heart. And sometimes that's the thing. When we hold on to a situation, we try to fix it ourselves, it doesn't go right. But when we give it over to the Lord, all of a sudden we find that he's solved it. It's been taken care of in a way only that he can. And so we want to learn that we learn to forgive. Because if we don't, if we hold on to it, that we just really the one we harm ourselves is most is ourselves. And so not only do we want to learn to forgive the one who wronged us, we also want to forgive God. And that sometimes we get a bitterness against God, we question why, but we realize that God has not done us wrong. He has never done us wrong. That He is a God of love, He is a God of wisdom. And as we learned in previous lessons, so often what happens is the devil causes this great problem, and then he steps back so that God gets the blame. And he does that throughout history, that something happens and God gets blamed for it, and that's why we see in the end times where the devil is sealed in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and it's a time of peace and justice and tranquility. Everybody gets along. There's not problems. But then as soon as the devil gets let out, all the problems come back. And it's to show to everyone that God was not the problem, that it was the devil that was the cause. And it's something that we have to learn to forgive God. And it's just the same if you've ever had a situation where you've thought that someone has done you wrong, and then you find out that it wasn't them, that you misjudged them, that someone else, you kind of had falsely accused them, that it's simply something that you go to them and you make it right and you restore it. And if they're a good person, they'll just say, oh, don't worry about it. And that's the same idea it is with the Lord, that He's not one that, well, you've been bitter against me, so I'm going to kind of put you in the penalty box, and you have to kind of like stay and feel sorry about what you did for a long time. No, it's something that we confess to Him. That's the thing, that if we confess unto Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That is something that we don't have to be afraid. It's a thought that God has been with us through the trouble, even though we don't realize it, and He's right there to help us up again. That when we realize that we've gotten off track, that He's not there to give us a lecture or anything. He just say, "Well, I've cleansed you. You're forgiven. Let's go on. Follow me," and so we can do that. And then finally, we want to get the understanding. Not only do we have to forgive someone that's hurt us and forgive the Lord, sometimes we have to learn to forgive ourselves. And what can happen is when something happens, when a tragedy occurs, and we don't handle it properly, or we think, well, I should have been able to see the signs, I should have been able to avoid it, that it ends up that we can beat up ourselves for it, and that we can feel so guilty, or say, especially if there's a tragedy, loss of a loved one, that we feel so bad of things that we've said that we didn't think that we should have, or opportunities that we missed. And we get ourselves worked up and beating ourselves up over that, and it's not what should happen. And we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we see this principle. Verse 10, it says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." And it's the thing that when we have sorrow over something that's happened, if it's godly sorrow, that it causes a change of heart, that we learn from our mistakes and we change our lives accordingly. But then there is this sorrow of the world where there is no hope, that we feel guilty and there's no way of getting rid of that guilt. And sometimes what can even happen is a person can even start inflicting physical harm upon themselves because they just feel so guilty and they don't know how to deal with it. And that's the whole reason why Christ came, is that we would be free and free of guilt, that we wouldn't be burdened down by that if we've done something wrong, that we wouldn't have to carry that and feel sorry about it, but that we can be forgiven, that we can overcome it, and that we can learn from our mistakes and start doing what is right. And so when we think of this guilt that we have, that first of all we have to deal in reality, because sometimes it's always a coulda, woulda, shoulda, that we, sure, if we, hindsight is always 20/20, we can see what we should have done or how, what this sign was that I should have avoided it, but there's so many things that happen, and we're not all knowing, we're not all wise, and we can miss things, and so it's not necessary to beat ourselves up. And sometimes it's just you don't expect something from someone. It just is with David, that he had one of his counselors, Ahithophel, was in with Absalom when they committed treason against him, that they basically overtook the kingdom, that he said that if it was his enemy, it would have been equal, but it was someone his equal, that they went to the temple together, and yet this man turned against him. It was a hard thing. But it's something that we don't need to beat ourselves up for, that we realize that we are human. And when we struggle and we think of all the wrong that we've done, we realize that there are times that we did right, that there are things that we did that were good, and we don't want to regret the good things that we did in the past, that it wasn't worth it or anything like that, that we want to realize that. And if we've failed someone, that we, if we've done wrong, we haven't measured up to what we felt that we should, as much as we can, we should try to make it right, that it speaks in Matthew that if we've have something against our brother, or if we have something that's not right between our brother, we'll leave our offering there, and we're going to go make it right and then give our offering to the Lord. That we need to try to do that. And sometimes we can't fix what happened in the past. And we can't even if we wanted forgiveness for a wrong, that person might be gone, and we can't do that. But it's something that we take it to the Lord, we give it over to Him, and we do as much as we can to make it right, but if we can't change the past, and so we need to leave it behind and make forward. And it's something that we need to realize, that we can learn from the experience that we have, that it isn't something that we allow it to defeat us, allow us to burden us down throughout, but we allow it to make us a better person, that we say, okay, I failed in this respect, how do I do better? And any of you, I think, that have been a parent, that you've ever had a time where you've gotten frustrated with your kids, and you've yelled at them or something like that, that afterwards you feel so bad, but then it's something that you don't beat yourself up over, because sometimes what will happen is you're angry at yourself, and then the kid does something wrong again, and that you yell at it again, because you're not angry at the kid, you're angry at yourself. But it's the thought that we let it go. It says, well, okay, I've done this wrong, I don't want to make this a pattern, because we know, and it's a blessing with their kids, that they love us, and is they seem to be very forgiving of us when we do fail them, especially when they're young. And if we can go to them, make it right, if we can learn from our mistakes, if we can say, okay, well, when this happens, this is when I usually, my temper starts to flare up, I need to catch it right away, I need to calm down, I need to if I have to go outside and go kick a tree stump or something like that just to get it out, just so that I don't spew it out on my kids. It's something that we learn from our mistakes, that we use it to better ourselves. And that's the thing, that we can learn from failure just as much as we can from success. I remember I did fairly good in school, but the couple times when I've got like 42 on a test, it really kind of had an effect on me. It's like, okay, I really missed this. I really need to hunker down and figure out what I did wrong. And I remember it was grade 5. It was this test on idioms, and I completely misunderstood what they were, and I flunked it totally. But then I hunkered down, and by the end of the year, the teacher said, "Well, she remembered the bad mark that I got, and well, now you've figured it out. You understand it." And so that's what we have to do. And then finally, we need to learn to come to a point to thank God for the experience. And whatever it is, of course, when we're in the middle of it, we're asking, "Well, why, God, did this happen?" But it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you," that even though it doesn't make sense, we want to realize God has a purpose for it. God works everything out for our good, and it is His desire. That's what He wants us to do, is to get better at it, to learn from our mistakes, to see our failings and go to the Lord for help and say, "Lord, I failed this. I know that You haven't tempted me above what I'm able. You've always given a way of escape. Well, I missed that way of escape. I lost sight of that. Show me where that is for this next time, so I don't keep doing it over and over again." And it's a thought, too, that when we go through a difficult experience, when the Lord helps us through and we make it through, it's a training ground for us. And it's a preparation so that when someone else that we know or we come in contact with has the same problem, that God has given us the ability now, because we've gone through the same thing, that we can empathize with them, that we can come alongside them, we can help them up and say, "Well, I experienced this too. I went through this, and God helped me through it." And especially someone that's lost, that if they don't know the Lord, they don't know how to handle it. But if we can share with them our Savior, share with Him what He can do for us, that it can make such a difference. And that's the thought that we have, that even you think, as an example, if someone, if they were to, a Christian was to get cancer, and we would wonder, "Well, why would that happen?" And we think, "Well, maybe the Lord's going to put you in the cancer ward, and in the bed right next to you, there's going to be someone that's going through the exact same thing that's lost. And that person needs the Lord, and you never would have bumped into that person if you didn't get cancer too." And if the Lord uses that for the saving of a soul, that we can rejoice in that when we get to heaven, that we think, "Well, isn't that worth it to be a part of that?" And it is something that we realize, that the Lord knows what He's doing. He loves us, and He has His plan and purpose in it. And whatever we go through, He's not going to abandon us. He's going to be there with us. And when we're hurt, when we struggle, that we learn to give it over to the Lord. We learn to help, to learn from that difficult time, to help it make us a better person, to equip us for serving others. And then as we do that, when we get to the end of our lives, that we're rejoicing, that even though we went through trials, even as Paul did, that he had different times when he was abandoned, and other things by friends. People had forsaken him when he went through great hardship, but yet he was thankful at the end of his life. He was looking forward to meeting the Lord. And that's what our heart should be too, that we, even though we go through such difficulties, and the devil is hoping that he can use that to take away our joy, to cause us to give up as Christians, that we can emerge victorious, that we can be praising the Lord, thanking Him for it, and glorifying Him through it all. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, we just thank you once again, Lord, for your hand in all that we do, Lord, that you do not leave us or forsake us, Lord, that you can turn our hearts into helps if we allow you to, Lord. We just pray that you would heal us, Lord, as only you can with the different trials that we've had, things that we haven't maybe done the best that we should have, Lord, but we know that you are a merciful God, forgiving Lord, and that you can make great things even out of our mistakes sometimes, Lord. We just pray that you would help us, Lord, that we would not allow the devil to keep us from a life of joy and happiness and fulfillment that you give, Lord, but that we would give our hearts over to you, Lord, and that you would continue to use us, Lord, for your glory. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, let's stand and we'll turn to hymn number 304 and sing one more hymn. Nothing Between, hymn 304.